Fiends, broadcasting from Taipei 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty, toasty, ooh, squirrel, degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Shane and Diana? Can you feel it?
Yeah, I can totally feel it.
Ooh. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a good cop, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bibcot.org. So, how in the happy Halloween are you guys doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great, Lou.
Long time no see. Well, at least for Diana. She and I saw you a couple weeks ago. But Diana, she couldn't make it because she decided that she wanted to trip acid earlier in the year. She was injecting the acid. But were you tripping on the marijuana?
Not entirely accurate.
Were you tripping on the marijuanas and injecting the acids?
Possibly. You never know.
I knew it. What color is your hair this week? Are you like a redhead again? Are you like Daphne from Scooby-Doo?
I'm still doing red, definitely. I haven't changed that for a while. It's easy, and I think, I don't know, personally, I think I look better as a redhead than a blonde.
Yeah, but it suits you. It definitely does.
Yeah, so I could just, I mean.
I always think you're beautiful.
Aw, thank you.
Aw.
That's me being sweet. All right, let's get on with the stuff here. No, seriously, what's been going on? I don't get a chance to chat with you very much.
And me?
Yeah. You.
Okay, so I moved recently to a different part of Colorado. I've talked about that a couple of times on the show.
Aren't you living in the ghetto?
Well, I did mention that, and then I retracted that statement because I felt it was disrespectful to my surroundings. I would not say I live in the ghetto. No.
Oh, so it's
people who live in the actual ghetto would be like, what? So, I mean, it's just, it's in a little bit, let's just say that your dollar doesn't go as far where I live.
Why? There, as it did. To buy?
Well, no, I just said the rent's high and you don't get much for your money. So, yeah,
well, that's not the ghetto. That's New York City.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, I would say that, I could definitely not get a size place that I have here for the money I'm spending in New York City, for sure. I mean, it would no doubt be much smaller. It's a lot smaller than I'm used to. I'm still trying to figure out what to do with all my crap. I've been thinking seriously about just throwing it out and just, or calling, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and just saying, just not even bothering looking at any of the boxes, just take it. Cause it's different. It's definitely different. I still feel like I'm transitioning, even though I've been here a month now. but anyway, I'm sure I'll be fine. I'll get used to it and try to find another place when my lease is up, most likely.
I moved a month and a half ago, something like that, give or take, mm-hmm. maybe a little mm-hmm. bit more. And I still haven't completely transitioned. I've got a lot of my stuff unpacked. So the stuff that I have to get unpacked and sort through, there's really not a whole lot of it. I think probably mm-hmm. the biggest task that I have ahead of me is setting up my garage, meaning putting up all my shelves and then mounting hooks on the wall for tools and stuff like that, because I'm a gardening type guy.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you going to get a dog? I was wondering about this earlier.
That's a distinct possibility. It'll probably be a couple months before I do. Mm-hmm. I'm probably leaning more towards cats because mm-hmm. they're a little bit more independent and less needy. Yeah.
Well, what if you could get one like Roxy?
Yeah, Roxy thinks she's a cat.
Well, what if I could just take Roxy?
No. I had a feeling that's where the direction this was going to take. No. This is my baby. She's laying here so calmly, like a little donut right beside me. She's like my little sprinkle donut.
Yeah, she's a little sweetie. No, it's not outside the realm of possibility. It's just if I get a dog, that means I have to shoot straight home from work to let it out. And I have to be present a lot more, so I won't have the ability to go do things the way that I do now. And it's just me. So to be a proper dog dad is going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's worth it, I think. I don't know. But yeah, I agree. They're definitely more high maintenance and require much more. It can put a little bit of a damper on just getting up and going. You have to figure out what you're going to do with the dog kind of thing. So, but you've got the RV. So if you travel with your RV, just bring the pupper with you.
Well, bring the cat too.
That's true.
Yeah. I've always been more of a cat person than dog person because of that. You know, the cat can just do its own thing. Like when I went to the Peace and Liberty Fest, the cat was fine by himself.
Yeah. Well, it depends. See, my cat now has become much more high maintenance because she will not eat her dry food anymore. And so she has to be fed canned food. And so that makes it much less easy.
Yeah. Don't so, feed her for a couple of days. She'll be happy with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She will eat anything. Yeah. She will eat Roxy.
She's not well. She's not entirely well anymore. She's 14 and she's got early stage kidney disease. And so I have to make sure she eats. Yeah, I know. So now it's like when I go, I can't just leave her. Even if I just go for a day or two, a couple of days, I have to board her now or have someone come, you know. Yeah, so, yep.
She probably doesn't like that either.
Probably not, but somebody has to be, you know, monitoring her food intake and everything, so.
Well, how long can a dog stay at home without going outside to go potty?
If you crate train them, obviously it's best to not leave them for very long. But when I was not working from home, when I was going into the office every day, I mean, she was crated for while I was at work. So, that's probably not ideal, but I mean, she was fine, you know, they learned to hold it.
Did she do her business in the crate?
No. You get, if you crate train them, you don't want a crate that's large enough that they can go in another area of the crate and avoid where they went. So you want one that's big enough for them to walk in and turn around. Essentially. And that way they will be less inclined to use the facilities in their living space.
So you pen them up like veals, what you're telling me. Thanks, Diana the Cruel.
Aw.
Well, so she's Diana, got...
Instead of Diana Kyler's Diana Crueler.
My nickname in high school is Killer Kyler.
Dog killer.
No. Now she has me all day, every day.
Oh, so you get to work from home now.
I do get to work from home. And that was another thing I was going to talk about a little bit. That's taking some getting used to, too.
Tell us about it.
It's just so different. It's really, really different. You have to be disciplined. Not so much about the work. I mean, the work to me, the actual work, working from home, it's no different for me. I mean, I do my work, you know, basically. But then the discipline part comes in, you know, actually getting dressed, brushing her teeth, things like that.
Showering.
Yeah. Which I do every day still, but typically I don't shower till the end of the day.
I totally thought you were going to say it was things like, oh, staying focused on my work and, you know, staying, you know, in out of the kitchen, things like that. But, you know, no, it's getting up and brushing my teeth and getting dressed.
Yeah, basically, because I don't have to. I mean, if I want to, I could just bring my laptop in the bed with me.
That sounds awesome.
But it's not though. I mean, so far it's
you're working your boxers.
Yeah, I could work in my boxers.
Which is how I do radio shows.
Well, I do them on my PJs, so.
Should have seen Randy when we were doing the Wednesday night show from my camper. I stripped out of my boxers. He's like, Lou, what in the happy Halloween are you doing? I'm like, I never do a show with my pants on. He's like, Lou, put your pants back on. No, I'm kidding. He was cheering me on. He stuffed a dollar in there. No, I'm kidding. I had my short. I had regular short pants on. Matter of fact, I had cargo shorts. Dirk
Johnson. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a faux pas.
Fashion faux pas for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not as fabulous as Dirk J.
No. Hardly anyone is, though, Lou.
You would never catch Jeffrey Tucker in cargo shorts.
No, definitely not.
There's a picture out there. I saw it, and he was in like a old filthy wife beater t-shirt because he was like playing some sort of sports thing or something like that. He was in like exercise workout clothing.
Oh, no bow tie.
No bow tie.
Wow. Can't imagine Jeffrey Tucker without a bow tie.
Yeah, and he shows up at Liberty Fest wearing his fancy suit, traipsing around in the mud and dirt and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering how he was going to keep his shoes clean.
Who came last year that, like, wearing, I mean, not fancy clothes like Jeffrey Tucker, but, like, pretty nice clothes and nice shoes and stuff like that? I think it was Ole.
Yeah.
He was dressed nice most of the time, as far as I can remember. And I remember thinking, how is he not getting filthy?
Well, I don't remember being like super fancy dressed. It was more like a casual.
Yeah, you know, but really, like, but nice, like pulled together kind of thing, you know?
Well, and compared to the rest of us, yeah. But we were all strung out and cracking heroin, so.
Anyway, speak for yourself, Lou.
He might be back next year.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
So, I will be back next year, for sure.
Awesome.
You darn well better be. And we will be back after this.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow. So, for those who did not open up the internet over the past couple days, yesterday was the 4th of July. And
what?
Yeah, I know.
It's an actual date on the calendar?
Yeah, yeah. But even more, not just the 4th of July, it was Independence Day, which is really kind of ironic for most Americans because every other day for them is Dependence Day.
Exactly.
So all sorts of crazy stuff happened yesterday. Starting off, oh gosh, I get a kick out of this. This is why I really don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the Trumpers. I made a meme. It's a guy in a doctor's office. He's talking to his doctor and he's holding his backside. And the doctor says, "Sir, where does it hurt?" And the old guy says, "Down here around my butt. Every time somebody tells me a truth about Trump." And this is really interesting. The title of this article, and this is from the Washington Post, some Trump supporters thought NPR tweeted propaganda. It was the Declaration of Independence. For about 20 minutes Tuesday, NPR traveled back to 1776 to echo its 29-year on-air tradition. The public radio network's main Twitter account tweeted out the Declaration of Independence line by line. There in 113 consecutive posts in 140-character increments was a text of the treasured founding document of the United States, from its soaring opening to its searing indictments of King George III's absolute tyranny. To his very last signature. Who could have taken issue with such a patriotic exercise done in honor of the nation's birthday? No, it's not the nation's birthday.
No, it's not.
Well, quite a few people, it turned out, could have taken issue. Perhaps it was the Founding Fathers' capitalization of random words or the sentence fragments into which some of the Declaration's most recognizable lines were broken. But plenty of Twitter users reacted angrily to the thread, accusing NPR of spamming them, or worse, trying to push an agenda.
Wow.
Seriously, this is the dumbest idea I have ever heard on Twitter. A Twitter user named Darren Mills said after NPR had gotten as far as the declaration's dateline, literally no one is going to read 5,000 tweets about this trash.
And he also tweets, this is why you're going to get defunded.
Yeah. Yeah.
NPR.
I could just see any of these people saying, we like Trump. He's got electrolytes is what we crave. One user wondered if NPR's social media accounts had been hacked and the network lost at least one follower who called the tweets spam. In case you're missing it, it looks like at NPR has been hacked, tweeting like crazy. And that's a human being at Tracker in Blue. Here's a tweet. 241 years ago today, church bells rang out over Philadelphia as the Declaration of Independence was adopted. And Brandon Traven responded, this is spam. I get alerts for NPR tweets because they're important. My device is alarming nonstop. Unfollowing.
Wow.
America.
Yeah.
The blowback increased when the tweets reached the portion of the declaration that outlined in unsparing detail all the ways Britain's King George III had wronged the then colonies. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers, read one line of the document. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people, read another. Some people, presumably still in the dark about NPR's 4th of July exercise, assume those lines were references to President Trump and the current administration.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, why would these people think that that this was about Trump? I mean, is he doing stuff that could fall in that category?
Anyway.
Sure seems like it.
But anyway, when NPR called for open revolution with the tweet, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. D.G. Davies responded, so NPR is calling for revolution? Interesting way to condone the violence while trying to sound patriotic. Your implications are clear. And we'll be right back after this insurrection of the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And we are back. This is Shane and Lou. Diana is playing around with some computer stuff, and she should be back hopefully pretty soon. But anyway.
She had to go get a longer leash for her laptop.
Yeah, that's right, she did. So anyway, in the last section, we were talking about this article from the Washington Post, and there's a few different articles out there. This one is probably the most enjoyable of the ones I've looked at. So the story of this is NPR every year does its retelling of the Declaration of Independence, and I think they tweet it out each year. But this year they tweeted it out, and they did it, you know, it's in the 140 characters, so a lot of tweets in there. But anyway, Trump supporters, being the geniuses, the rocket scientists that they are, you know, I wonder with all these Trump supporters, why are space programs not further ahead?
Fiend phone.
No, actually, I don't wonder at all. And I'll throw a Satoshi in the collectivism jar for saying our space program. But anyway, so all these tweets are going out with lines from the Declaration of Independence, and the common rube out there, the Trump supporter, is thinking that's propaganda against their orange god. So instead of the golden calf, you have the orange calf. But anyway, this is great. Propaganda, is that all you know? Try supporting a man who wants to do something about the injustice in this country. Hashtag draining the swamp, tweeted one user, whose account has since been deleted, but whose messages were captured by Winnipeg Free Press reporter Melissa Martin. And let's see.
Isn't the swamp still full?
Oh, no, no, no. That's not a swamp. That's a federally protected wetland. You got to get it right. So actually, what he wanted to do was make the swamp great again. But anyway, Melissa Martin says, heavy sigh. And that was in response to a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant. And let's see now, the person who shut down their Twitter feed says, propaganda, is that all you know how? Is that all you know how? Try supporting a man who wants to do something about injustice in his country. Somebody responded to him, they're tweeting the Declaration of Independence.
Exactly.
Upworthy writer Parker Malloy took images of several
Fiend phone
to NPR, including one who told the media organization, please stop. This is not the right place. It's probably the wrong day to do it, too. I mean, heaven forbid that you should do the Declaration of Independence on actual Independence Day. Whatever. So, let's see now. Where are some of the good ones here? Yeah, please stop. This is not the right place. Let's see now. Oh, yeah, somebody said, yes, NPR journalists with a mission. By Wednesday morning, many of the replies above had been deleted. However, at least one Twitter user admitted he had screwed up and apologized to NPR. This comes from DG Davies. I tweeted a very dumb comment, but ask yourselves, if read to the average American, which apparently this guy is, would they know that you were reading the DOI? I do now.
Fiend phone.
Okay, that's Diane again, hopefully. I can't reply to you all, but stay tuned. To those that want to mock me, go for it. I deserve it. To those that forgive my sin, thank you. Sin? Really?
I know, right?
I'm back.
Welcome back, Diana.
I'm back.
Hi.
The Declaration of Independence is, of course, one of the country's most important documents, adopted at the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776. The text and purpose of the Declaration would likely be recognizable to those who have applied for U.S. citizenship, since questions about the document appear on the naturalization test. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has an extensive list of study materials and other Declaration-related resources for prospective citizens. You know, it's interesting that the people applying for citizenship are more knowledgeable of these things than the people that are born citizens. But then again, if you're born and you don't have to do anything to get that cattle brand of the tax
right.
for this particular tax farm, then, yeah, why should you learn anything? It's just like the Constitution. They talk about how much they love the Constitution and how all these things that are listed specifically in the Constitution are unconstitutional. But anyway.
Isn't it that potential immigrants that come here and they want to be naturalized, they have to, like, take a certain amount of history, like American history?
Yeah, they get tested on it.
Yeah,
and probably more than citizens have to take in the indoctrination gulags.
Probably more.
But that history is replaced with how to fill out welfare applications and how to register to vote.
Zing.
NPR's Morning Edition has had a nearly three-decade-long tradition of broadcasting a reading of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th each year. More than two dozen NPR journalists participate in this year's reading, including Morning Edition's co-host Steve Inskeep. All Things Considered host Audie Cornish and NPR national political correspondent Mauro Liaison. It is a document from a deeply divided time, broadcaster Mary Louise Kelly noted in the reading. It was a time when Americans turned against each other. Did they really turn against each other? Well, I guess because you had the Tory loyalists, which would be the conservative Republicans of that time that didn't want to change anything. So, I guess it was American versus...
you have the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists.
Yeah. Well, that came later on. When we're talking about the revolutionary time, preceding the revolution, you had the Tories, and then you had the we really don't care, leave us alone types, and then you had the secessionists. So, yeah, the American Revolution was more a war of secession because they didn't try to overthrow the crown and take over the crown. They just seceded from England.
Yeah.
So the Twitter exercise this year was a way to include additional people in that tradition, NPR spokesman Isabel Lara told the Washington Post in an email statement. This year we mirrored that tradition on Twitter as a way to extend to social media what we do on the air, Lara wrote. The tweets were shared by thousands of people and generated a lively conversation. Here's the full text of the Declaration of Independence, blah, 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 blah.
And I'm not going to go reading that whole thing because heaven forbid people start trying to call GCN saying, what is that Darnalou trying to do? He's calling for insurrection and revolution and leave Trump alone.
I like to think that the GCN crowd would recognize the Constitution a little bit more so than the
Declaration
than the other
of Independence.
One. Yeah, or the Declaration. Yeah, thanks for the correction.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. But you know what? If you read the Declaration of Independence, it's if you look at some of the things that they're complaining about. For example, a complaint about the king was for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. Gee, could that be a tariff? You know, a big giant tariff that makes it much more expensive and cost prohibitive to do business with somebody? For imposing taxes on us without our consent. Yeah, that hasn't happened.
Right.
For depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. Now, I don't know that the indefinite detention provision of NDAA 2012, also of Article 1, Section 9, Clause 2 of the Magic Parchment, has been put into place, but I really don't think that the evening news is going to do a press conference of some statocrat saying, yes, we have just enacted the first indefinite detention and tried somebody without a trial. We have taken a U.S. citizen and put them in a black site in the stands. They will not get representation, and they will be subject to enhanced interrogation. Yeah.
So but you know what?
I really don't think that press conference is going to happen just
yet. And even if it did, Lou, I mean, do you honestly think that the majority of people listening to that or hearing that press conference would think there was really anything wrong with that? They would think, oh, they must be doing it for a good reason. They're trying to keep us safe, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The majority of people would have no problem with it.
Yeah. I bet you the majority of people would say, well, you know what? If that Shane wasn't doing something wrong, he wouldn't be in the stands right now.
Exactly. Yeah, you shouldn't have broken the law, Sean. I mean, Shane.
That's okay, Dana. I mean, Diana.
My mom was actually going to name me Dana, just as an aside there. But
interesting.
Yeah. If I'd been a boy, I'm so glad I wasn't a boy. Anyway, go ahead.
Here's an interesting grievance from the Declaration. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Yeah, that's good thing that hasn't happened since the Constitution's been ratified. Good thing that we got away from that when we got away from the crown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That would never happen.
Our government would never do that to us.
No, they wouldn't. Mm-mm.
Oh, here's one. For protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. So he's talking about the Redcoats killing Americans or colonists and then getting a mock trial and being acquitted for it. And incidentally, today is the anniversary. How many years is that? Is it 6 years or 10 years since 6 years since Kelly Thomas was mercilessly beaten and got off it, and the cops got off at trial after they counted how many times he screamed, "Please help me, Daddy."
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, good thing that's gone, too. Let's see now what else is in there. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. Sounds like a little bit of adventurism there. Let's see. You guys chat for a minute, because there was one that I wanted to find in here that's really going to knock people's socks off. So, speak.
All right. Well, we got about 60 seconds left until the break, so I'm just going to kind of chat here until Lou finds whatever it is he's looking for. So.
Talk about the Declaration. Talk about how great it is.
Well,
I found it. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. So, the Founding Fathers in the Declaration of Independence was complaining about King George building the wall.
Yep.
Basically.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
looking at this face beef post, it says, if you weren't forced to pay taxes, would you? Which is kind of contradictory in a way.
Let me think for a minute. No.
Well, they wouldn't be taxes anyway.
Right.
If there was no force involved, that
exactly
it would be contributions.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting, and there are a lot of people responding.
You know, I've seen that post.
I can imagine the comments
today. What are some of the comments that jump out? Do you have it up?
Oh, Diana? Pull it back up again. Let's see. People are saying no, hell no. not until
That's
government.
Hades, no.
Not until government started proving that they help, not hurt, on virtually anything.
So that's a no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like mostly no. It depends on if I could decide where my money goes. And the response to that is, if you could decide, it wouldn't be taxation.
Yeah, that's not a tax. That's an investment. Or that's a market decision.
Donation, contribution, whatever you want to call it. And that's what most people are saying in response to that. They're saying that, you know, along with all the no's, a lot of people are saying, you know, that they would donate to the things that they feel are important. But they, you know, and yeah, so.
And they wouldn't be spending all that money on things that they don't approve of.
Right. Like war.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this a number of times on the show, or at least once, or maybe I just think that I did. If it wasn't for the socialization of cost, and it's the cost is socialized to everybody, but the benefits of it are privatized and go into the hands of just a few people. If you look at Standard Oil and United Fruit using political connections to get the military to go into different places in Central America and overthrow governments so that they would have more preferable business environment down there, and not that it was too horrible before, they just wanted it to be even better. And if they had to pay for their own military to go down there, you know, if they had to hire the Marine Corps with their own money out of their own pocket, chances are they probably would not have hired them to go in there, because then they would have to pay the full cost of it. And even more important, they have to take the risk of failure.
Right.
Because when you have to pay for something yourself, you can only pay for so much equipment and weapons and stuff like that, and training and manpower and everything else. But when the cost is socialized and it is paid for out of taxation, debt, and even printing money, that's when you can really run wild. So if there was a system of sound money, or a system where people had to pay out of their own pockets, and anything that they borrowed they had to pay back on their own later on, you would never have world wars like have happened in the past. And it would be down to like skirmishes and feuds like the Hatfields and McCoys, except they wouldn't last anywhere near as long, and probably fewer people would get killed.
Worms.
No doubt.
So the question is, would there be a drug war? I think when the bill comes in for harassing potheads and everything else, I think when that bill comes in and they say, all right, this is what you got for your money, by the way, here's your prison bill that goes along with it, I really think that once people start having to pay for all that stuff, it's kind of like, what's a good analogy for it? I don't know. When I was a kid, I always wanted to get all these different things from the store, you know, toys and stuff like that. And I went in there with a couple dollars of my own money. It was my allowance. I'd worked really hard and bust my hump for a couple bucks. And I said, how much is that? And the sales lady said, well, it's this amount. I'm like, rip off, because I had to spend my money. Instead of somebody else's. So when you're spending somebody else's money, it really, the cost is important. But when you're spending your own, that's when you become a little bit more frugal. So I don't think that stuff would exist.
I agree.
Meow.
Worms.
So we'll be back. Second hour coming up.
Yep. Worms. We'll be right back.
It's Prime Unlimited Music.
Oh. And we're back.
Meow. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. And we're back.
And you did that. You did that from heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
I memorized the intros, and I know them by heart.
Stalker.
I have been a fan of the show for a couple of years, and it shows.
So, to our listeners that are just now joining us in Belfouche, North Dakota.
Belfouche.
A couple other places. The first hour, we were talking about Independence Day and the Declaration of Independence, and all the people that freaked out as NPR was reading the Declaration of Independence in commemoration of this holiday. And they were freaking out because they thought that NPR was calling for revolution and insurrection against Donald Trump. So apparently some of the grievances in the Declaration of Independence made against King George III are also applicable to the Orange One. So anyway, but a little something interesting about Independence Day. Most people don't realize this. When it came to the actual signing of the Declaration, it wasn't like everybody got together on July 4th. As a matter of fact, people were coming and going, and I believe actual technical Independence Day is on the 2nd, but Independence Day, the July 4th that we all think of these days, that is just the date that the politicians, the powdered wigs, the fancy pants in Philadelphia, that's the day that they got together and put quill to paper and chased a trend and tried to take credit for it. You see, the colonies were already in open rebellion for a full 15 months. That's right. Boston in particular, that bastion of domesticated house pets, as we saw after the bombing at the Boston Marathon a few years back, I mean, they were just absolutely positively rowdy and stirring up crap. And one of the things about the British Redcoats, their primary job in the colonies was law enforcement. So the Sons of Liberty, the founding fathers, they were harassing cops. They were tormenting cops. And in many cases, they were killing cops. And when that Declaration of Independence was signed and sent to the king, that was an act of treason against the legitimate government. The king that is endorsed by God because, you know, reasons.
Divine right.
So, yeah, divine right. Thank you very much, Diana. So, this is not a holiday about flag waving, fireworks, hot dogs, and thanking government employees for their service. This is a holiday based upon treason, secession, and cop killing.
Brexit 1776.
It's resistance to government. Yeah, Brexit 1776. So, all you patriotic types out there that say, well, you better obey our laws, you better obey the government. Well, guess what? The very people that you venerate were doing the opposite of what you're telling people to do today.
Worms.
So, as a matter of fact, I even put out a post on it, and it was a picture of a red coat military guy. So, not a soldier, whatever. But anyway, let me pull it up here. The quote from the British soldier says, "I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. Hashtag Red Lives Matter." And that, that is Jack Nicholson's line from A Few Good Men when he's in court. I believe this one he's in court, but anyway, So you have a red coat using that line. But what I put on there, and this actually got a few people wrestled up a little bit, and I actually contemplated doing like a full-blown blog post on it. But the red coats were just doing their jobs and enforcing our laws when the terrorist group Colonial Lives Matter rose up and started raising hell. CLM engaged in acts of vandalism against private corporations by throwing tea into the harbor because they were mad at the government. CLM attacked and killed our law enforcers for fulfilling their oaths. If Crispus Attucks and his hooligan friends had just obeyed the law, they would still be alive today. If you can't stand behind our red coats, feel free to stand in front of them. And the next time Indians attack your homestead, send a smoke signal to a crackhead. So what I've done there is I've taken every nonsensical argument that the modern bootlicking conservative, back then they would have been called a Tory, these government loyalists, everything that the modern loyalist says, and put it into the context of that time. Because when you start looking at what was going on there, and that in the Declaration of Independence, where they talked about the show trials for British soldiers that were killing colonists. Now, that was happening. That's not something that just started recently. This has been going on the whole time, because the government is not going to take out its own enforcers, because the government relies on those enforcers to enforce government, to impose government.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, full 15 months before the politicians put quill to paper, the colonies were in open rebellion. And interestingly enough, the Boston Tea Party, when the Sons of Liberty had pulled that off, Sam Adams and his gang, most of the population around there, most of the people were opposed to it because they thought it was rabble-rousing and uncool, and they didn't like the destruction property and all this other stuff. They just thought that it was really horrible. But the tide of public opinion changed when the Redcoats started kicking in doors looking for the Sons of Liberty, and they were doing their warrantless searches, kind of like they were doing in Boston after the Boston Marathon bombing, kicking in doors, looking, no warrants, no nothing, just taking over a de facto martial law. And as the Redcoats were going through there and doing all this stuff, that's when the tide of popular opinion changed. And that's when people started supporting the Sons of Liberty, because that was blowback against the heavy-handed response of the British.
Yep, it certainly was.
So, yeah, the more years that pass, the less things change. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the other article I think you wanted to talk about.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gun control. Take the lead on this, Shane, since this is your...
Okay. All right. Well, it's funny that you mentioned how you embellished on that post, because a similar situation occurred with this article, because he had a sensational headline that seems like it's current events. The headline says, 72 killed resisting gun confiscation by the National Guard in Boston. Now, this actually happened on April 20th of 1775. But the way it was worded and the headline and everything, a lot of people were fooled into thinking...
You could have buried that lead there. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah, I probably could have buried the lead for effect, which is what the author of this article did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or should have. But so anyway, 72 killed resisting gun confiscation by National Guard in Boston. And he goes on to say, National Guard units seeking to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault weapons were ambushed by elements of a paramilitary extremist faction. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were killed and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. Speaking after the clash, Massachusetts Governor Thomas Gage declared that the extremist faction, which was made up of local citizens, has links to the radical right-wing tax protest movement. Gage blamed the extremists for recent incidents of vandalism directed against Internal Revenue offices. The governor, who described the group's organizers as criminals, issued an executive order authorizing the summary arrest of any individual who has interfered with the government's efforts to secure law and order. The military raid on the extremist arsenal followed widespread refusal by the local citizenry to turn over recently outlawed assault weapons. Gage issued a ban on military-style assault weapons and ammunition earlier in the week. This decision followed a meeting early in this month between government and military leaders, at which the governor authorized the forcible confiscation of illegal arms. One government official speaking on condition of anonymity pointed out that none of these people would have been killed had the extremists obeyed the law and turned over their weapons voluntarily. Government troops initially succeeded in confiscating a large supply of outlawed weapons and ammunition. However, troops attempting to seize arms and ammunition in Lexington met with resistance from heavily armed extremists who had been tipped off regarding the government's plans. During a tense standoff in Lexington Town Park, National Guard Colonel Francis Smith, commander of the government operation, ordered the armed group to surrender and return to their homes. The impasse was broken by a single shot, which was reportedly fired by one of the right-wing extremists. 8 civilians were killed in the ensuing exchange. Ironically, the local citizenry blamed the government forces rather than the extremists for the civilian deaths. Before order could be restored, armed citizens from surrounding areas had descended upon the guard units. Colonel Smith, finding his forces overmatched by the armed mob, ordered a retreat. Governor Gage has called upon citizens to support the state national joint task force in its effort to restore any law and order. The governor also demanded the surrender of those responsible for planning and leading the attack against the government troops. Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, and John Hancock, who have been identified as ringleaders of the extremist faction, remain at large. And this, fellow Americans, is how the revolution began, April 20th, 1775. And it goes on to say that on July 4th, 1776, these same extremists signed the Declaration of Independence, pledging to each other and to their countrymen their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Many of them lost everything, including their families and their lives, over the course of the next few years.
And of those signers of the Declaration of Independence, who did not sign the Constitution?
Most, yeah. There was 56 signers of the Declaration, and only 6 of them signed the Constitution, one of which being Benjamin Franklin, who I believe regretted it later on.
Robert Morris had signed all 3 documents, the Articles of Confederation, the Declaration, and the Constitution. Interestingly enough, Hancock...
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
And we're back.
We're back. And we were just talking about the start of the revolution, the American Revolution, the right. War of Secession. That happened on April 20th, 1775. It was an interesting read.
Yeah, and I was going to point out how I did bury the lead, or unbury the lead, I guess, that should have stayed buried, because the message from the author, I just want to go over this real quick. He says, for those of you that may have been fooled by the headline, for my apologies, but I ask you to keep reading. I actually did this for a reason, and no, despite what few trolls have claimed, it's not clickbait. And he goes on to explain a lot more, but yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
So, yes, go read it. I got an article here. I got an article here that I pulled up. This is from Boston Tea Party Historical Society. As we're going into break, I said that John Hancock was a smuggler. The article here says, John Hancock did not directly participate in the Boston Tea Party, but he stood to lose the most from the East India Company imports of English tea to Boston. On the other hand, Samuel Adams, who led the Mohawks aboard the British ships, was so close to John Hancock that Bostonians even joked that Sam Adams writes the letters to newspapers and John Hancock pays the postage. You do the math. John Hancock was a wealthy shipping magnate who made the bulk of his money illegally by smuggling. So, lawbreaker, good man. Many colonials were smugglers. Yeah, many colonials were smugglers. Hancock just happened to have a flair for it. So he was like the El Chapo of Boston, because the ever tightening British policies that came about after the French and Indian War were aimed at his sort. He wholeheartedly took part in the call for revolution. It was a well known fact that John Hancock had made his fortune through smuggling Dutch tea, which was cheaper than East Indian tea. A commonly forgotten fact is that East Indian prices were cut before the introduction of the 3 pence tax. in effect making its price even with the tax cheaper than Hancock's tea. Presented with this information, many loyalists did not wonder at Hancock's involvement in the boycotting of East Indian tea, and indeed, the entire war. After he inherited a fortune in his mid-20s, the elegant dandy nearly single-handedly bankrolled the early protests in Boston. Hancock smuggled glass, lead, paper, French molasses, and tea. In 1768, upon arriving from England, his sloop Liberty was pounded by British customs officials for violation of revenue laws. This caused a riot among infuriated Bostonians, depending as they did on the supplies on board. In the late 1760s, he was formally charged with smuggling, and although certainly guilty, his attorney was able to get Hancock relieved of all charges. The lawyer was Sam's cousin, John Adams. Yeah, he kept beating the rap on technicalities.
I wonder how he was able to do that.
John Adams, even though he was a absolute control freak and just an absolute lunatic, another article I have here describes him as Darth Vader, but he was a very good attorney. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
The British soldiers that had killed, I think it was Crispus Attucks and a couple others, he got them off at trial, too.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that in the series.
Yeah. That series, it was really interesting. A lot of the dialogue in there was from the letters back and forth between him and other people. As a matter of fact, when he was sitting with Jefferson, and Jefferson was doing the Tree of Liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants alike. He said that to Adams in the movie, but that was actually one of his letters, and he was referring to what he expected to come about with this new constitution that had been proposed. Yeah, so a lot of people will say that he said that before the revolution. No, he said that after the revolution, before the constitution, because he was in France at the time.
Yep.
You know a lot about this stuff, Lou.
Well, you know why? Because I listen to the Dangerous History podcast with Prof. CJ. Go to profcj.org, and you can know about all this stuff, too.
Sounds like a plan.
Worms.
Meow.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Somebody channel surfing the radio and listening, or first-time listener is going to be like, what in the happy Halloween is the matter with those people?
Well, we're adults who meow.
Yes.
Get used to it.
We are. That's how we roll up in here.
Yeah, that's right.
Worms.
And we say worms.
Yeah. So.
Instead of word.
Word. Another way that the internet was broken over the past couple of days, not just the people that are screaming about the Declaration saying, you better not replace our president, you know, by retweeting the Declaration of Independence. It appears that something happened with CNN, and I'm really not up on this. I love being ignorant of stuff like this. I also have no idea what the Kardashians are into these days, or any days for that matter.
Yeah.
So on this one here, Reddit user behind Trump wrestling tweet apologizes. It appears that somebody took footage from a WrestleMania or something like that when Trump was wrestling with Vince McMahon, and they put a CNN logo over Vince McMahon, and Trump was just like beating him up and throwing him around. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The Reddit user created a GIF.
A GIF. GIF.
I thought it was GIF.
I believe the creator does pronounce it GIF, although
it's GIF.
Most people do not.
Most people say GIF, but I think it's GIF. Anyway, so yeah, what I think is funny is that naturally Trump tweeted out the GIF of him wrestling a CNN image.
Yes, Trump tweeted out the GIF of it.
I want to call it GIF too, but I don't think that's right.
I think both are acceptable.
Okay.
You should go with what you want to do, because that's what I want you to do.
All right.
Say it. Say
no,
the words,
I refuse
Diana.
It.
Say
I it. Refuse now.
Say it.
I just can't, on principle.
Say
just can't.
It.
It.
GIF.
So this does seem like the kind of thing that Trump would tweet out.
Yeah.
So anyway, it appears that the folks at CNN got a little bit butthurt over it, and within a matter of hours, they were able to track down the Reddit troll who went and put this little GIF together. And I don't know if they doxed him or threatened to dox him or what, but strangely enough, they were able to find him within a couple of hours, but they still haven't found the information actually linking Trump to the Russians after all these months. Don't ask me why.
Yeah, but it's like they basically extracted this apology from the person that did it.
Yeah. So the article that I have here is from Real Clear Politics. On Wednesday's edition of CNN's New Day, hosts Chris Cuomo and Allison Camerata addressed the apology the network was able to get from Reddit user behind the GIF of President Trump wrestling a CNN image superimposed on WWE founder Vince McMahon. Trump tweeted out the GIF and received widespread condemnation from the mainstream media. Something remarkable, I thought, happened yesterday. I thought it was remarkable that CNN found the Reddit user who created the GIF of Donald Trump in the wrestling video and where he punches CNN. So the investigative team went back and found the guy who first created this. He took credit for it. And then here comes the remarkable part. He apologized. He apologized for having done this, Camerata said.
Huh.
This is a very full-throated, I think, genuine, honest apology. He has also asked me to not reveal his name or whereabouts, and we at CNN are honoring that, the co-host also said.
Here's what I think.
I have a picture of a guy that's doing like a hostage video for ISIS with a couple people standing next to him with like rifles and machetes and stuff like that. And it's a picture of a guy saying, I'm very happy with CNN. They're treating me properly and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just like, well, I mean, actually this, Dave Rubin accused CNN of extorting an apology. And I mean, I guess in a way, it's like, why would the dude apologize? I don't know.
Yeah, really. You think he'd be proud of something like that and would just own it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of thinking that CNN threatened him. I mean, that's...
Well, if he were to get doxxed, and let's say there were some anti-Trump people out there that maybe they take it personal that he's doing this to their CNN or they take it personal that he's a Trump supporter, they might just do something to him.
Right. Exactly.
So essentially, my understanding of it is, and I really don't know because, like I said, I don't follow this too much, but starting sometime last night, there was a bunch of buzz about CNN and being thugs and everything else. So what I figure happened is they probably threatened to dox this guy, and he feared for his own safety. So it's kind of the prisoner's confession video, so to speak.
Right. That's what I think.
As he's all bruised up and he says, they're treating me properly. They've not violated my rights. This resulted from a slip and fall in the shower. But interestingly enough, I hear that the trolls over at 4chan have been doxing CNN executives and anchors. And for those that don't know, doxing is releasing personal information, address, phone number, things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they use his Reddit handle on here, Han Asshole Solo.
Diana.
Oh.
Please. So anyway, Han, name redacted Solo. Yeah, but I mean, as far as like his real identity or something like that, that could be very dangerous. So But yeah. As I said, my understanding is that the some of the 4chan trolls have doxed the CNN executives and anchors. So here's a tweet here from Andrew Kaczynski. I need to point out again, Han, name redacted solo, is a middle-aged man. People claiming he's 15 are wrong. Some are intentionally spreading this. So they threatened to dox a middle-aged man. Let's see now. Oh, yeah, Google CNN175 Sue says, looks like CNN's ethical problems have hit bottom. At K-File, hold my beer, CNN blackmail. Cuomo, hold my Cosmopolitan. So, yeah, because Cuomo had tweeted out, should CNN reveal the name of Reddit user who made Trump wrestling video, had a lot of bigoted and hateful material on page and website. I don't know what bigoted and hateful material sounds like, but...
Yeah, well, either way, I mean... Regardless of the nature of the website or what was on that particular Reddit page or whatever, I mean, he would not have deserved to have his, to be doxxed and potentially be threatened and all that kind of stuff, because we know what happens when somebody gets
one of our fellow fiends has
expressing
with that.
An opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
what you have here is a multi-billion-dollar media corporation trying to strong arm one single person, and they couldn't just take the being memed and go on with it. And all sorts of people get memed. There's absolutely no reason to absolutely freak out over it.
Exactly.
This here, it's the Streisand effect has now been replaced by the CNN effect, because this whole story now it's going to be a lot bigger deal, because it's going to go beyond Trump retweeting some internet trolls GIF. This is what people are going to remember out of this is CNN strong arming some schmuck.
Exactly. They could have just laughed it off and moved on, but they had to go about it like that, and now that's going to look even worse.
Well, I'm sure that CNN, those at CNN are probably among those that criticize Trump for tweeting the ridiculous things that he does, where Trump gets offended and threatens people on Twitter and it says the ridiculous things that he does, and then they turn around and basically do the same thing. But in a more sophisticated way, but still,
Now, here's some other articles that are related on Real Clear Politics. Fox and Friends, CNN blackmail, trending after pro-Trump Reddit user apologizes for anti-CNN video. Let's see now, Limbaugh, could Donald Trump be the end of CNN?
Probably not.
Probably not.
More like the other way around.
Yeah, and that's not. This isn't a strong enough vaccine to get rid of that disease. CNN's Stelter, supporters on Reddit think Trump tweets are show of strength. I would argue an admission of weakness. Gutfeld, that's Greg Gutfeld from Fox News, rips CNN's Brian Stelter for reaction to Trump tweet. Harris Hall Monitor. So, Tammy Bruce, press response to Trump's tweet proved his point. The media cannot be taken seriously. It's really, really just a Schumer show out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe that the dinosaur media isn't below the surface in the tar pit yet. I seriously can't believe it.
I agree.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that are very kind of unbelievable these days. For sure.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I really, when it comes to like CNN and Fox News, the vast majority of their viewers are really, really old. And I think in a few years, when there's not as many of those really, really old people left, mm-hmm. I think that they're going to kind of swirl the bowl and go where they need to go.
Down the drain.
You think?
Speaking of which, I had a telemarketer call me from the cable company that I get my internet service from, and they're trying to sell me an upgrade because all I have is internet service. So he's asking about what I use for home phone. I says I haven't had a home phone in years, and then he starts talking about how do I watch my TV shows. I'm like, well, I got Netflix, Amazon Prime, and we'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Woof.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Take it away, one of you.
And we have no redemption. No redemption whatsoever.
Irredeemable. No, there's got to be something.
Nothing that we've, I don't know, none of the articles that we
let
have.
Let me finish my story from before the break.
So okay, anyway, that sounds good. Why don't you do that?
So anyway, the salesman's like, well, you know, how do you watch your TV? You know, do you have Netflix? I'm like, yeah, I got Netflix and Prime. And he says, well, what about, you know, the network shows and blah, blah, blah. We can offer you this, that, and the other thing. I says, well, quite frankly, I don't watch enough TV to justify spending the money. And when you look at the fact that you can go to the different network websites and watch the shows like the next day on your own time schedule, and you have fewer commercials in there, so it actually goes a little bit quicker. Why would I be so tied to watching at a certain time? And quite frankly, when you look at all the different things that's out there, Netflix and Amazon Prime, Hulu, Vudu, just all these different things out there. The regular cable companies, as far as like providing all these channels and everything,
right?
It's kind of like the home phone service. It's literally a dinosaur thrashing the tar pit. So when he asked me if I'd like to sign up today, I'm like, no, why would I?
Right.
I don't need this. You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like, and yet they fail. I mean, they sometimes do good offers to get you just to sign up or whatever. But then, I don't know, once that period of time is over, suddenly they start charging you a lot more for that service. So say you sign up for...
They didn't even offer me what I thought would be a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, well, and they don't really. I mean, you know, maybe a semi-good deal if you happen to be somebody who sits around watching TV all the time. But then, you know, once that period of time is over that, you know, that the deal was for, then all of a sudden it gets jacked up. It's just really not worth it at all.
No.
And for the exact reasons you stated, because there's so many other resources. I mean, if you want to watch something, there's just way too much out there. They need to step up their game and get a lot more competitive or something.
Well, they wanted $90 a month for cable.
Plus all the fees and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which would end up being a lot more.
They wanted $90 a month for the cable and the internet service. And I think their going rate for cable internet and a home phone line is $99. So it wasn't a deal. And
no.
It wasn't anything that they didn't offer me before. So and there's absolutely no reason for me to go and sign up for it. And quite frankly, these companies, they're going to have to understand that they're on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be providing internet service, and that's about it. I could see it with me being in a more rural area here where they might be able to get a little bit of home phone service sales. But for the most part, if they're in a major residential area, maybe major urban environment, they're not going to get a heck of a lot of home phone sales. And it's going to be the old people. And as these people die off, you know, the home phone companies and Fox News and CNN are just going to wind up going belly up because that's their base. So,
yep.
And that's
the landline
good.
Providers and yep. The corporate news outlets. Yeah, they'll go away.
So do we have time to talk about this, the story of people being arrested for buying Legos?
We have 90 seconds, Lou.
All right. Why don't you speak quick then?
I guess I could do this. So apparently there have been several instances where parents, mothers, whatever, have left their kids in a Lego store in you know, particular malls around the country and Canada while they shop, you know, go do their adult shopping or whatever, and they've gotten in trouble for it. In fact, the more recent thing that happened was an upstate New York mom was arrested, and according to Reason.com, for an unspeakable crime. She allowed her 10-year-old child to shop alone at the Lego store in the local mall while she shopped in a different store. The horror. So,
that just sounds like free-range parenting, if you ask me.
So this poor woman was arrested. A similar thing happened in Canada a couple of years ago.
2014.
Twice. There was one. Well, actually, again in New York, Long Island, woman was arrested for leaving her 7-year-old for 20 minutes. And in Canada, an 11-year-old was detained for being too young to shop alone. And the father wrote a letter to the company just stating kind of the ridiculousness of it, as we all know. I think most of our listeners would agree. But, you know, it's just...
It's just nonsense. Thanks for coming on tonight, Shane and Diana. And thanks to everybody for listening. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, thinks about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you'll want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.